Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the talk show, Uplifting Community Talk Show, sponsoring Council of Elders. Founder is Mr. Jensen Brooks. And this is going to be a really good show today, y'all. So y'all just go ahead on, kick back, get you a cup of coffee. It's too early to drink a good old soda or a beer, but get you a cup of coffee or whatever you want to drink. And just kick back, and Mr. Jensen Brooks is fixing to take over. Go ahead on, Mr. Brooks.
Good morning, good morning. Hello, everyone. My name is Jensen Brooks, and I want to welcome and thank everybody for calling in to this week's Council of Elder program on Uplifting Communities. And I want to thank you, John Brown, for giving me this platform. Now, for new listeners, I want to just tell you about the purpose of the Council of Elders. The purpose is for older people, elders, to give advice, counsel, and life experience to younger people, advice that can help them navigate successfully through life, deal with issues, and avoid some of the pitfalls that can affect everyone. The concept is based historically on African culture, where elders in the community had council members to help guide tribe members, settle disputes, etc. In today's show, young people are especially invited to call in. My dream is to have a Council of Elders group or organization in every community in America, and for them to be known about in the community so that people could have an opportunity to get advice from elders about their concerns. But it first starts with a single group. So I'm assembling a group of elders here in Sacramento, and I'd like to have about 10 volunteers. Once we get enough volunteers, we can go to youth centers, juvenile halls, boys and girls clubs, churches, etc. We can also be available to young adults as well. Sometimes they need advice on how to raise kids, how to get along in their careers, marriages, etc. Moving forward, this is an effort to bridge the gap between young people and elders. The younger generation today and the older generation should start to merge. And with that, we'll introduce our council members, our panel for today.
Good morning. My name is Walter Williams, Jr. I am from Aliceville, Alabama. I am a 38-year retired law enforcement executive. And I thank Jansen for allowing me to be on this panel. He and I were high school classmates, so we've been knowing each other since the childhood days. And I thank you so very much.
All right. I want to introduce our next panelist, Mr. Harrison Anderson. He's a community activist here in Sacramento, California. And normally on the panel we have elders, but Harrison just turned 40, so he is wouldn't be considered an elder, but he is very much in touch with the younger generation. And I've asked him to come on today to be on the panel to give his opinions and takes on what's happening today. So go ahead, Harrison.
How you guys doing today? So my name is Harrison Anderson.
All right, how you doing, Mr. Harrison?
Pretty good, pretty good. And, I have a website called Melanated Fathers of America. And on this website, we basically talk to fathers about parenting. We talk to fathers about big different things that have happened in history. We focus on creating like a book of the month so we can express to the people in the community how important it is to read. We post a lot of articles about pretty much about black lives. My website focuses on, creating the best experience for black people that we can, especially in these times where the injustices against our people are just running rampant. So the website just focuses on helping black people everywhere. And we also have a community outreach part of the website where we go out to the community. I have an annual Father's Day softball game that I do. Currently, we are providing lunches for the community on Mondays and Wednesdays for everyone who's been adversely affected by this COVID-19 situation. We have events for Black History Month, Thanksgiving. So, you know, my whole platform is based on empowering Black people, and, you know, I'm excited to be here.
All right.
Okay, Ms. Brooks.
Good morning. I'm Suzanne Brooks, and I've been in Sacramento about 25 years. Originally, I'm from Philadelphia. I lived a few places in between. I'm known mostly as an advocate and organizer of organizations on behalf of women of color, although I'm now moving to the term melanated, too. I co-founded with while I was a Philadelphia policewoman, we co-founded the first police athletic league for girls in the nation. Since then, I've co-founded March 1st as Women of Color Day and headed an organization working on that, and I'm now working on one called WomenWorldCulture.com. I'm an author of the book, The Constructive Extermination of Women of Color. I'm also a tutor and an English teacher, and I'm a singer with my own band. So I'm active in a lot of communities, and I work across ethnic and across generational lines very easily. I tutor people from kindergarten all the way up to doctoral level. So I'm very happy to be on this panel, and thanks for the opportunity.
All right, all right.
Okay, I'm gonna give everybody a little bit about me. My name is John L. Brown. Okay, I'm the founder of Uplifting Communities Talk Show. Also, we have a Uplifting Communities Television Talk Show. I'm the founder of that also. And I just love to try to help out in the community. I'm an elderly person. I've been around the world. I'm a Vietnam combat veteran. I'm trying to do a lot to try to help the younger generation out. And that's what it's all about, you know. And that's all I got to say about myself is just, you know, common. I'm just a common man. Okay, back to you, Mr. Brooks.
Yes. Unless you've been living under a rock lately, you know that we're in the middle of turmoil. We've got poor national leadership, protests, pandemics, etc. Today's topic of discussion is this. In light of these recent events, the question is, where do we go from here? And I have my friend Walter Williams, who's on the panel today, that gave me this idea when I was talking to him. But where do we go from here? Now, we're elders, and in being elders, whether we like it or not, we have a responsibility to guide, give advice to younger people to try to get through, navigate through this today's world. So I know the problems, as I mentioned, poor national leadership, police killings of black folks, unarmed particularly, pandemics. And so what I want us to talk about today is solutions. Where do we go from here? How do we act ourselves, and what do we tell our young counterparts as to how they should navigate through these times? Okay, so if anybody wants to start this conversation off, I know personally I always tell people, particularly younger people, leave weed and alcohol alone, because by doing that you have more control over what you say and what you do. And what you say and what you do now affects years from now. So I'm going to leave it at that, and then I'll allow the other panel members to give their take on, you know, where do we go from here?
Well, you know, one thing I want to start off with something. And the reason for that is because I got up this morning and I went on Facebook and I saw, you know, Black Lives Matter. Someone went into the graveyard and wrote BLM and Black Lives Matter on a headstone. And then they turned over a lot of headstones. This is in the graveyard. Now, that's not no way to act. And to be honest with you, I don't think it was blacks, because that's one thing we don't do as black folks. We don't play in a graveyard. Now, if we got a generation of kids that's gone in the graveyards and doing that, we in trouble, man. I don't know what to say.
I'd like to comment on that. This is Suzanne. My comment on that is it's always interesting to me that the people who are working to overthrow this government and to undermine this society, we know that they go out and misrepresent themselves as representing us. They are organized. They are working with the Russians and others on the media to discredit us. They're the ones that are most likely responsible, and there's some documentation for that, for doing things like that. Their task is to undermine the organizations that are protesting. There's the protesters who are protesting the death of Mr. Flynn are not interested in looting or overturning gravestones. These are serious people that have brought the nation to its knees in terms of attention, which is long overdue. I think we need to not listen to the people who represent the right wing and the supremacists, who are doing everything they can to rob us of the right to vote, to have us die from the virus, and all other kinds of things. So I think it's important that we not blame people who are among the victims, those of us in the community whose relatives and friends are being murdered, not just by police, but by a lot of other people. Because I notice whenever you have a group of right-wing people promoting the National Rifle Association or promoting screaming at legislators and walking in and out of places fully armed, they don't get arrested. Even when they opposed the federal authorities in Oregon, they didn't get arrested. They can do anything, and they're looked at with tolerance. But the minute something happens where black people and other people of color are the victims, it is our neighborhoods where people get tear gas, for example. Not everybody in the neighborhood can survive that. People have asthma. Children have problems. And yet they gas and hold a whole neighborhood. So I think it's very important, just because whether the people that we see make those violent actions are black or white, they're not the protesters. And I think we should not allow ourselves to label, oh, I saw a black person or I saw these people do this, and assume that it's the same people. There are many groups of people within the black community. And unfortunately, not all of us are on the same path, but the majority of us are. And I stand with the people who are the protesters from forever, the ones that escaped from slavery all the way up to the current day. And what people think of us is not as important. But what we do for young people, we need to be examples. We need to be lovers of lifetime education. We need to be informed. I told people before Trump even took office that I had read so many years of study of the Nazis and other dictatorships and how they came to power. He's used that same method. And we are watching our government be overthrown. And we need to really understand what we have at stake. I think the young people get it. They are the most integrated group of protesters in the history of this country. So we can learn from them. You know, I'm not going to go out and march. I have sickle cell anemia. If I get beat in the head, I'll probably be dead. So I'm not going to do that. But I can act in other ways. And one of the things that I think is we need to look at what we as the older people can do. I developed a program called Total Communication, which I am promoting to work with people who are senior executives and boards of directors, because it's my opinion we're not going to change the people at the top by just ordering them to do what we want or even by demonstrating. We need to find ways to engage them into letting us train them, because in my opinion, most of these people are hated by their employees. The average person who works at Walmart hates the people that own Walmart, and for good reason, because they don't make any money. They have to get on welfare while they're working there. So my goal is to do confidential training of people at the upper power levels. And if anybody wants to help me with that, I can talk about that later. But I think we need to educate ourselves. We need to be more multilingual. Most African Americans speak only English. I speak five languages. And it's because I care about that and I care about communicating. I'm encouraging people to learn Spanish, Haitian, French, and Portuguese so that black people can communicate with other black people in the Americas.
That's right. We can't
do that right now. And so if we don't like languages and we don't like reading and we complain that we're shut in instead of going on YouTube and looking at the millions of documentaries and educational tools and educate ourselves, why would the young people do it?
Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to piggyback on something you said, Ms. Brooks. You mentioned the fact that that we need to maybe start, training our leaders. You know, I retired from the U.S. Postal Service, and I was in management when I retired. I worked in a postmaster's office. And when I got into management, one thing they did, they sent me to a class, and it was called Sensitive Awareness Class. And that Sensitive Awareness Class, because, you know, everybody know in the Postal Service, you have different nationalities, you know. And I think, I don't know if our leaders have them type of classes, but they need to, and especially our president. Man, he didn't say so many, you know, things that is not favorable. Until this is one class that he really need. I think that's one of the steps that we probably can, help out, you know, to solve some of these problems.
I'm a big advocate of the post office, and I think the one reason the post office is under attack, the post office has hired more veterans than most other organizations will ever hire, and has also given women and a lot of other people access to a decent salary. And post office people are generally better educated, and it's not necessarily formal, but informal as well. I don't think we should spend time trying to educate Donald Trump. He went to the Wharton School of Business, and he doesn't know anything, and he doesn't want to learn. What, you know, we cannot assume that people like that are going to change. I think we need to educate the people in our own communities that lack knowledge of history, of politics, of languages, of good writing skills. And then we can show young people how to do those things. And we can use the libraries. The libraries are like one of the best tools we have, and they're underused.
Yes, right. Oh, I like you. You are right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you got
And I'm knowledge. A happy person.
Hey, this is what I call uplifting the communities. That's right. That's right. You know, you got to start somewhere. And this is what we call Council of Elders. You know? I mean, you're giving knowledge. I love this.
Right, right. And if I can get a word in there, you guys, this is Harrison. So one thing I wanted to say, because I've been listening, you know, we are having a really good dialogue so far, I feel. But being, like, the younger person in the room, one thing that I would, you know, one thing that the younger people focus on at this point is, you know, having a revolutionary spirit, you know, because throughout history, and this is just my humble opinion, I think we've dropped the ball somewhere in there just as far as how we combat these issues. Now, I understand with everything that's going on with George Floyd right now, I see an abundance of people who may not, an abundance of black people who may not have been inclined to fight on the behalf of other black people before, but I do see a string of black people who are, in a sense, waking up or becoming woke, right? So I appreciate that, but I think at the end of the day, this is something that we have to continue. Even after this situation is over, just like the sister just said, we have to continue to fight for our people. And, you know, the brother mentioned a few minutes ago that, you know, Black Lives Matter protest was putting, you know, writing graffiti on graves, keeping in mind that there are a lot of operatives out there who are sent in the mix to, you know, devalue what we're doing. But at the end of the day, everybody who's out there looting or rioting or protesting in the name of injustice, you know, I completely ride with those people because, like I mentioned, for so long we've been kind of coming from a docile position. I think some of the things that we're witnessing right now with these cops getting arrested and things moving forward, a lot of influential people are donating money. I think this is happening primarily because of the violence, because certain people are getting injured. And in my opinion, guys, we are at a war right now. We are at a war with white supremacy. And it's extremely important that all of us realize that. And in a war, there will be casualties, you know?
That's right. That's right. Well, anyway, Mr. Brooks, we have people that's trying to get in. Okay, y'all want to let some of the people in to voice their opinion or elaborate on
something
that...
Let them in,
that...
man. Let them in.
All right.
Someone knocking at the door, let them in. Yes, I think...
Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, my name is Malcolm Hughes, and I'm calling in from outside of Atlanta, Georgia. I'd like for the panel to discuss the importance of the old school way, you know, getting an education, getting a good job, and even going beyond that, starting a home-based business or becoming self-employed, becoming an entrepreneur, and maybe talk about some of the solutions to us helping ourselves individually so that we can help each other collectively.
All right. Well, Wayne, what do you have to say about that?
I have a long background in education, and I have a lot of education, and I'm an advocate for education. However, I know this is a theory that many of us have had for years. We tell people, get an education and you can be anything you want. Well, that's not actually true. I've worked in higher education institutions for over 30 years. And the problem is that the level of institutionalized discrimination that is in all of the educational institutions of this country in one way or another block people, no matter how smart you are or how educated you are. I worked at Penn State when they were raping boys up there and when they were doing all kinds of things to women. It's common on every campus. And we need to have people engage in understanding the compliance review process in which communities can bring about and participate in investigating all of these things. Because, like in California, the university system here is such that minorities are in, 85% of minorities go only to the community colleges, 10% to the state universities, and 5% to the universities of California. That means in some years there's not a black person who graduates from medical school or law school here. And so the fact that the vehicle is there doesn't mean they get in there. So we need to be revolutionary concurrently with education. Education, and the same with business. The Small Business Administration only gives 5% of its money to women, and women of color don't even get 8%. And so the access to capital is not there, and people are not supportive of women of color as they are men of color in business or even in election. We are really underrepresented in Congress and elected positions. So we need more people to understand the realities of the circumstances, and then we should encourage our celebrities who have money and could donate. Why don't we have more black banks? Why don't we have more Latino banks and organizations that can provide the venture capital and other resources? So we need to work together in going beyond education. And also, if you're educated and you only speak English, you're behind. This is a multicultural, multilingual world, and we cannot function around the world if we only can speak English, and we expect everybody to do that.
Yeah,
right.
So I can understand, sister, and to pick up from, you know, because the brother who came on mentioned solutions, and why don't we get back to like the old school way of doing things, you know, in my opinion, just like the sister was saying, I'm not quite sure if, because when we say old school way of doing things, I would have to, you know, find out exactly what time period we're talking about, because, you know, the old way of doing things as far as going to school, getting a job, like the sister was saying, I'm not quite sure if that's the best route for us at this point. Of course, we want to create more entrepreneurs and business owners and things of this nature. But I think, you know, one thing I wanted to bring to the conversation and make known, I think our families are really important. Like how we raise our kids in our home, because we're talking about being bilingual. We're talking about all these different programs that we can take advantage of. But I think a lot of this starts in our home. You know, like the sister was saying, in our homes, it's important that we're teaching our kids about history. It's important that we're teaching our kids about racism. Because in my opinion, if I get a great college education and I become wealthy and I have a lot of money, if I don't have a knowledge of self, then I'm not going to be of use to my people. So when I look at all of these things, I look at this from a melanated perspective, like from my people's perspective. And for us to get the most out of what we see going on, it's going to take a level of unity. And that can be regardless of what kind of job you have, regardless of what school you went to. We need to just figure out a way to be on the same page. And being on the same page doesn't necessarily mean being in the same room together. It just means having a code of conduct in which we choose to operate. Because, again, if you're a black person in this country and you're wealthy and you've amassed a lot of money, you become useless to us if you think like a white person to a degree. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it has to be a way that we are collective, but it just starts with looking at another black person as your brother. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
That's knowledge, Deborah. That's knowledge. I like the way your brain is thinking. That is so good. You know, I love it. What about you? What you have to say about that, Mr. Walter?
Yes, Walter here. Taking a little bit from what I've heard thus far, and I'll put it all together succinctly. Knowledge, the beginning of knowledge. People perish for a lack of knowledge. So we have to have knowledge from Mr. Hughes, who called in, the old school way of doing things. One of the old school ways is non-violent. When we come together, protest like we're doing now, because when we come together non-violent, not fighting back, the enemy wants us to fight back. So because the enemy's job is to steal, kill, and destroy. But when we come together non-violently, we come together as a community in unity, because unity confuses the enemy. The enemy is a source of conflict and discord. So he has no clue what to do when people of God come together on one accord. What's happening now, people of God and all races are coming together, and these millennials are leading the way. Things are getting done, folks, if y'all don't realize it already. Things are getting done because of the actions of a few. These movements are coming all across the nation. Things are getting done.
Right
down in Birmingham, Alabama, there was a statue of a Confederate general. Been there for over 100 years. As a matter of fact, the state of Alabama passed a law, the Historical Preservation Act, in order to keep it there. But because of this movement now, you have to do away with the symbols. The statue is gone, not only in Birmingham, down in Montgomery. I hear statues coming out in Virginia. It's going because of the unity We are all on one accord. And we're not being distracted about those folks that are going out there throwing Molotov cocktails into businesses, breaking glass out. They're not a part of us. They are part of the problem. They are not a part of the solution. So unity is very important. And things are getting done. And from my perspective, which one of the catalysts that kind of was the straw that broke the camel's back, as I said, 38-year retired law enforcement executive. What goes on is what's happening now in policing in America. The bad, bad seed is qualified immunity. Officers of the law have qualified immunity. You can't really prosecute them civilly or criminally because their laws have already been passed. It's got to be changed. What's happening now, that's coming to the forefront from a lot of state, and it has to begin on the local level, from a lot of state officials now. This is springs directly up to the top because this is what brought this whole thing down, police brutality and trying to get them to be held accountable. So things are happening, but it's happening through unity of purpose and unity of spirit.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we have another. Someone else been trying to get in for quite some time now. Let's let him in. Okay. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Sacramento, California. Oscar Vicent. How you doing, gentlemen? Please.
Hello. How you doing, sir?
Good morning.
This is Oscar Vicent, Sacramento, California. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I hear you.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure. I was trying to speak earlier. I think this was an excellent conversation because unity is the key. That's going to unlock the mystery. We have to. I know this is a time right now with the pandemic and stuff that we all cast to keep our heads down. But it's a time right now that we need to reach out and touch someone. And this is an opportunity to do that. We got children, we got grown people, we got everyone right now who is isolated. But God is a God of love, and so we have to find a way to actually touch one another. And this way right here is a start. It's a start to finding out what we need to do. I just got off of one Zoom conference call. And this is my next one for the day, but this is an opportunity for me to stay connected. And we would really like for the kids to understand that unity is the key, not riots. Riots is not the answer. But a combination of what Martin Luther King did, nonviolent communication, and to let people know what is our goal in life. I heard you say this morning already that education is the key. That's a fact. My mother and father believe in education. And so the only way that you can get ahead in life is to get educated and be self-sufficient. This is one of the few places that your self-sufficiency can actually garner you some cash flow. And education is the key to doing that. So I encourage everyone to reach out and touch someone. The only way you can get ahead is to reach out and grab the guy behind you and give him a lift up.
Amen.
Not the crabs in the bucket.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, bro. Amen. Love it. Just love it. Okay, I want to let everybody know that you are listening to the Uplifting Community Talk Show. Council of Elders, and the founder is Mr. Jensen Brooks. And we have someone else on is ready to either elaborate on something or tell us what they think.
Yeah, so I wanted to bring a point home really quickly. The last two people who've been speaking, you know, I'm going to be as respectful as possible, but when we talk about, because I'm the youngest person on the panel, right? So when we talk about looking at the past and how things have worked for us, the young people, because when we talk about being nonviolent, I think that's a slippery slope in 2020. Because in my opinion, the riots and some spurts of violence throughout the country has been like the antithesis for those other three cops being arrested. At this point, if someone is being violent, and this is how the younger people feel, guys. If someone is being violent with people, to tell them to turn the other cheek or to tell them that you shouldn't hit someone that just hit you in your face, at, you know, at a point, some of the young people may end up tuning you out because they're smart. This is probably the smartest generation we've ever had in our country, and they research. They see how things have worked in the past, and I think what they see the most now is they see what hasn't worked. So whereas I have a lot of respect for Martin Luther King, but Martin Luther King admitted before he died that he could have integrated his people into a burning building. Now, nobody talks about that. That's never the ideology of his that's used when we talk about all these things going on. And it's funny also that we talk a lot about Malcolm and his way of doing things in this country. When it comes to Black History Month, we kind of talk about these type of figures, but we never really talk about Malcolm X, right? We never really talk about the men and women that had more of a revolutionary state of mind. So I think at this point, yes, we need to unite. Yes, we need to be smart about how we operate. But at the same time, we got to get to a point where we're willing to do whatever we need to do to get our freedom. And I don't want to be violent. I'm not a violent person either. But again, at times we need to, you know, realize we need to do whatever is necessary to get our freedom. And sometimes if your enemy sees that you're willing to do what he's willing to do, you know, they'll back up a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
That's
true. I agree with you 100%. Exactly. I just want to let the listeners know, if you want to, you know, join in, please press 1 and I'll let you in. And we have someone else on the line. Let's let them in, okay? Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Brenda Johnson. I'm calling from Sacramento, California. My daughter is quite invested in this, what we are in is a movement right now, and we need to keep the momentum going. So, Ellen marched the protest because the pandemic did at the point. Right now, the main focus is. That
up.
Have been directed towards.
You're breaking up pretty bad.
Are the injustices towards Black people in this country? I'm not involved, but Ms. Brooks, I like to be involved with some of the things that you've spoken about early on in the conversation. I haven't been able to get out there in March, but I'm not interested in being involved in some violence. My health isn't that great. But as an elder, 64 years old, various things that we can do, and I'm interested in doing whatever that I can do from the home front. I have grandkids and especially a grandson and nephews that I'm concerned about their safety in America. And so... in order to see some of this turn around, we can't let this conversation drop. And people need to get involved in the voting process. I was listening to Gavin Newsom, and he's the governor of California. I really like the way he is bringing all these different ideas to the country. He is a very intelligent man, and if there was a way to, I hope he's planning on running. He has a really good group of people that he works with, and he's, anyway, enough about Gavin Newsom. Vote Gavin. Get Donald Trump out of there. We got to overthrow Donald Trump's government because he is a dictator. He is leading us down the wrong path. path, and we're all going to be regretting it if he gets voted into office again. So vote. Everybody vote. And I just thank you for letting me speak.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for calling.
Okay, Mr.
Yeah, can I answer Brenda since she asked some about what I'm doing? Anybody that's listening, I have a million tasks that need to be done. I'm working on raising $1 million right now to do some of them. I am easy to find, Suzanne Brooks in Sacramento, California. I have over 100 web pages. The gentleman that called before that mentioned the issue of nonviolence, I think needs to be answered. I really, I guess I didn't make it clear. I'm not totally committed to nonviolence either. I am not violent. However, I think when groups like Antifa are misrepresented and they're out there just like the Brown Berets protecting black people from the white supremacists when they show up to commit violence against us, we need to not let people be like Antifa be qualified as terrorists when they are not terrorists at all. And I also agree that we have to be careful about how we discuss nonviolence. Because I remember when Gandhi was in India and they had 1 million children marched on the British army and they shot them all down dead in the street. I don't find that as a solution. And so we need to have marches. We need to also stop talking about the younger versus the older people. It's one
right.
group of people. We know age is a number, especially today. People, Mother Ruby Muhammad, who my friend, lived to be 114, and she was as much a revolutionary as anybody. So there are people in every age group that are out there working in a revolutionary way. We need to gather the information as this group is doing with the Council of Elders, and we need to work together. I'm for getting gang members to run for office, and I've discussed this with some that I've met, because gang members will not cut food stamps, they won't cut housing support, they won't cut school funding, and people would support them, and it's another way to get them oriented towards using power and organization that they do understand in productive ways. We need to rethink what we're asking people to do. And I agree, we need marching in the street, but guess what? We need older people who know how to organize certain things, that we can teach those skills and leave that legacy with those that are younger. So I don't see it as a line between us. I see it's a single kind of group, but there are many kinds of people. And just because people have some different agendas doesn't mean alternative is evil. We need to be, some people are oriented. Some people are artists. We need to have it all.
Hey, I'd like to address the young man who talked about the violence issue. My name is Malcolm again, and I tried to live up to my name when I was much younger. But one of the things, and somebody touched on this earlier, we talked about our history and learning from our history. We don't have enough firepower to really be
amen.
To a war with the system, so to speak. And so and this is from our history, and again, we have tried this. My daughter asked me a little while ago, say, well, why, Dad, why weren't you a Black Panther? You seem to be a rabble-rouser. And my answer to them was, they always seem to be getting in trouble with the police, killing someone, going to jail, or being killed, and that was not the kind of activity that I wanted. Now, saying that, I also recognize, as I said, I'm Malcolm, and my name is Malcolm, and it's going to take both the Malcolm X's of the world and the Martin Luther King's of the world. It's going to take a dual strategy. No one size fits all here. We got to find some way to relate to these young people, let them know what our history is, at the same time use their energy and their technical skill levels to accomplish changes within the system, whether that's fighting the system or tearing down the system, or working within the system. And again, I'm more interested in solutions. We all know the problems. We could sit here all day long and talk about the problems. So in the time that we have left and the people who are talking, let's talk about solutions more so.
We got someone else trying to get in, so I'm going to let them in too. We got a board full. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Hello?
Yes, state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, my name is Joe. I live in Elk Grove here in Sacramento. And the young man, I would like to commend that young man who brought up the conversation regarding revolution. And a lot of times we as African Americans, especially as older ones, we get a little nervous. But always you got to remember your history. All great societies, whether they're present, old, and new, they came about, big change came about using revolution. Nobody don't like to talk about it, but that's it. Now, with that being said, I'm not advocating violence. What I'm saying, change is always brought about by loud noises, not whispers. When Martin Luther King started years ago, go check it out, he used young people. They show the pictures of the older folks coming across the Lewis Pettus Bridge and what have you. But when the demonstrations came and the police brought those dogs and they was beating everybody, it was young people. Our young people had the gumption to want to face all of that violence that they knew that they was going to bring against us. So my point is there are places, we all have our place. So I'm not going to discourage, and you're right, we don't have no firepower. I get that. But the point is, you have to say something. So the youngsters that want to defend themselves when they're walking and when they're marching, because you do have people, they want to see the violence. But you cannot be afraid to not stand up to the reality of between life and death. Because you're right, Malcolm and Martin Luther King had two philosophies. There was room for both. Because, again, if we're going to survive, we have to start making that change, and we cannot be afraid to confront whatever comes up at us. And that young man, I got to commend you because you're absolutely right. We don't like violence. I don't like violence either. But when somebody, and you got to be out there. Have you ever been laid down on the ground with shotguns in your head? I have. I marched with Cesar Chavez. You have no idea what clicks in you when people come at you. You're definitely not going to stand there and let somebody hurt you. And so those who want to get in harm's way, get in harm's way. The ones that don't, get out of the way and let us educate the youngsters on how to do certain kinds of things, because there's room enough for all of us to teach these youngsters, because they need the wisdom from all of us. And so with that said, I can go on and on, but I'm going to give, you know, other people a chance. But you can just kind of take that and remember, you know, when the Great Renaissance started back in the day from the South, all of the black folks started migrating to Chicago and New York, what have you. That was a revolutionary move. Okay, so we got to start thinking about other kinds of ways. And I'm not going to discount a lot of the violence and some of the things that happened. I'm not saying go into violence, go fighting. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying you got to know, because Trump called out troops. Y'all understand what that means? So you can't hide and dip your head in the sand and think it's going to be cool. It is not. So there's room for everybody on this line, on this call or today, to do something to help bring about some revolutionary change. The end.
This is Walter. Let me jump right in to bring us all back into focus here. We're talking about unity, unity of purpose, unity of spirit. We look at the big picture. We look at Christ. Christ was a revolutionary. He didn't have to kill nobody. He was killed, but he was a revolutionary. He brought in a change. He brought about a change. That's what's happening now with the efforts of people taking both sides, looking at the ideologies of Malcolm, looking at the ideologies of Martin Luther King. But we're getting those ideas are coming together. The picture of Christ is one body, many members. The eye cannot do what the hand do, and the hand can't do what the ear do. One body, many members. There is a place within this revolution for everybody. But we cannot go too far to the right as far as violence is concerned, because it was brought up. Hey, we are outgunned. We don't make them. They make them. And they make the bombs and everything else. We're outgunned. So we can't lay too heavily on that. Yes, there comes a time for everything under the sun. The Bible tells us that. There's a time to defend yourself. But that's not the whole focus. Let us focus back in now to the body and to the unity of spirit. And look, think, as a matter of fact, things are being done, brothers and sisters. Even now, we have awakened from that sleep. Yes, we were asleep. And there have been casualties, and there will be some more casualties.
Right.
That's just life. It's the thing called life. But we can, there's a place for all of us. And if we get unity, it's going to come back to unity, and it's going to come back to love.
Okay. All right. Well, we have about 9 minutes. We have about 9 minutes left on the show. And I wanted to get with have Mr. Anderson, Ms. Brooks, and Mr. Williams. Okay, you guys three. I would like to for you guys to go ahead on and leave the talk show with something positive. I'm going to start off with Mr. Anderson. You got about a minute, Mr. Anderson. Tell the audience something positive and what you think. Go for it.
So first off, I want to thank you guys again for having me on the show. This was really enlightening, and to be around, you know, the older generation who care about what's going on right now, you know, that means a lot to me. And I would just end it all, man, with we need to continue to try to unify when this is over. So, you know, if we have younger people around us, we have younger cousins, younger aunts, whoever we have around us, we need to make this a ongoing thing, like a daily thing where we speak to our family about the history that we've been through. We speak to our family about empowering each other, because sometimes I feel, you know, we only act this way when we're being attacked, when we're visibly being attacked. Then we kind of figure out, okay, all we have is us, so we have to come together. I think all year round, when there's nobody, when there's no police shootings or nothing going on in the street, we have to still unify at that on those fronts, regardless of your religious set, regardless of your income, regardless of all these things. We have to figure out a way to create like a common thread that we all can go by. Because even though we're not going to agree on everything all the time, we just take the things we do agree on and build from there.
Amen. Amen. All right. Ms. Brooks.
Yes. The main thing I would like everybody listening to do is to remember how to find me, womenworldcolor.org. I'm sorry, womenworldcolor.com. What am I saying? I'm mixing two things. Womenworldculture.com. You can find a lot of womenworldculture.com. You can find the programs that I'm working on. You can join the effort either as a user or a free user of the site, or you can become an internet member. I'm building an internet network of people of color, especially women of color, and also lots of opportunities if you're writing a book and get you some help in putting that together, many, many things. But most important, I think, is to recognize that we are not only teachers of the young, but we are learners from the young, and we are all teachers and learners from each other. I think people should not assume because someone has not been active that no one has been active. Some of us have been active our entire lives, and that's all we do. And it depends on what circle you're in. I'm in a circle of activists, so that's what I've known all my life. And I'll be happy to share that knowledge and information. And if anybody emails me through that website, I will send you a complimentary copy, a computer copy of the book on the extermination of women of color. So I hope to hear from people. And this has been a wonderful show, and I would like to continue to participate.
Okay, say that information again, how people can contact you.
Yes, you can contact me. The email address is contact, at women, W-O-M-E-N, world, W-O-R-L-D, culture.com. And that's the same, womenworldculture.com is the website, too. So you can even find out how to book my band. I'm working on the show right now, and so I write shows. I write many kinds of things. I write every day. Oh, yes, one thing, everybody write letters. Write letters to every elected official, everybody in every agency that you have a problem with. I write letters every single day. And I was able to beat down Wells Fargo by writing letters. And they had to make, they settled with me for $125,000. It can happen to you.
All right. Okay, Mr. Walter, could you please give a...
Yes.
Okay, and then we're going to turn it back to Mr. Brooks, and Mr. Brooks going to give his, and then Mr. Brooks, well, we wouldn't mind you closing us out with a prayer.
Okay.
Thank you again. I'm going to dive right in once again with love. Love is going to be the catalyst. Love is going to be the catalyst to change the thoughts, because it's the very thoughts of man that are evil. So the thoughts have to change, and the way the thoughts are changed is through education. The way the thoughts is changed is through dialogue, like we're doing here now. The thoughts can be changed through listening. The thoughts can be changed through integrating all of these ideas together to look at the big picture. What is going to be best for the world is what's going to be best for me. Love thy neighbor as thyself. You got to love self first. It's got to begin at home. We got to start to teaching our young people. Listen to them. Let them ask questions. Give them answers. If you don't have the answers, find them. Point them in the direction that they need to go. Then we will get there together. One body, many members. I love you, and ain't nothing that you can do about it. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Brooks.
All right, all right. Yes, this is... Jensen Brooks again, and Walter Williams, I want to thank you again for giving me the topic and inspiration for today's show. I think it's been a great message, and I was talking to you, and you came up with the title without even knowing it. But I want to go to the New Testament Bible for a second, and the book of Acts, chapter 7, verses 6 and 7, because I think it's something very apropos for what's going on today. And God was speaking to Abraham here. God spoke to him in this way: your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, God said, and afterward they will come out of that country and worship me in one place. When I read that, it made me think about the fact that in 1619, that was when the first black people were brought to the Americas. And last year, 2019, we just celebrated 400 years of being, 400 years on record, I should say, of us being in the Americas. And so after all this time, you can see that we're still struggling. And so that just tells you that the struggle must continue. And today we've heard, you know, different aspects of what to do and how we should move forward. And the fact that there is two sides to every coin, and that when all is said and done, we need to be together in unity. Even
okay,
though we have different.
Okay, you can repeat that verse. We only got 58 seconds left before the show is off. Repeat
yes,
that verse.
Book, it's in the New Testament book of Acts, the 7th chapter, 6 and 7 verse. Acts 7, 6 and 7.
Okay.
And So they talk about, you know, 400 years. And like
we only got 25 seconds left.
Okay, well, dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this meeting today. I want you to bless, anoint everyone that's listening. Lord, we ask for your guidance in this mission of Council of Elders. Help us to be able to merge young and old, to share our life experiences, Lord. And we just ask you to touch and bless everyone and their family that's listening today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, everybody. Thank you guys for joining in. The show is over with.